Thank you. Good evening and welcome to the Maine Outdoors. You almost forgot to throw the switch there, guy.
I pushed the button a while ago, and it apparently didn't light.
Oh, it didn't take. Oh. Anyway, welcome.
I saw your face. It looked a little panicked.
Welcome to our show tonight. It's a pleasure to have you on board, and we hope you enjoy our program tonight. We've got a good show lined up tonight. And by the way, you know, the firearm seasons for white-tailed deer in Maine is officially over. It's kaput as of Saturday, a half hour after sunset. But you're not out of luck. If you didn't fill your tag, you still have time to black powder hunt.
You do.
Have you ever shot a black powder gun?
I shot it once a long time ago. I've never hunted with it. So I am.
They are fun.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to tonight learning all about it.
You get a big cloud of smoke. It's a lot of fun.
You shot a pistol.
They are fun. Anyway, we're going to be interviewing Hal Blood, who's a big buck hunter and extraordinaire, and he's also quite a muzzleloader guy. And we're going to talk to Hal, and he's going to tell you all about how to be a good black powder hunter. So you have 2 weeks to do that, starting Monday in some zones. If you're in the southern area of Maine, you have 2 weeks, and if you're, this is a generalization, but if you're in the northern zones, I think you have 1 week of black powder. But we'll run you through that a little later on in the show. Introduce our guests in just a moment. First, the crew, the man behind the operations center, the man with the toggle switches under his very capable fingers, he is known as the, what are you known as?
Which one would you like?
Well, I like, my favorite is the Phantom Fisher of Grand Lake Stream.
I think that's my favorite, too.
I think it is, too, yeah. Anyway, nice to have you here, Norm.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Yes.
And our co-host, she is also a Maine guide. She's a native of my favorite area of Maine, the Aroostook County, and she's an avid outdoors woman. Catherine Gordon, welcome to our show.
Good evening. Good to be here.
You realize you have two natives from the county.
That's right, Norm.
Actually, three.
Three?
I mean, I lived there for 3 years of young life.
That's right.
So I know the county as well.
Oh, no, I don't doubt it.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, nice to have you all here tonight. Our guest again by phone, Hal Blood, who writes a column for the Northwood Sporting Journal and is a highly recognized Maine big whitetail hunter. He's going to join us by phone, tell you a little bit about his plans for the black powder season. And then we're also going to talk to a young fellow that I've gotten to know who's a real avid deer hunter, doing some really good stuff in the woods, too. Tyler Strassenberg, he got an 11-point bow buck.
That's amazing.
That's not too shabby.
No, that's pretty good.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty darn good. And he also, I tell you, he also, Catherine, bagged recently a 204-pound whitetail buck.
I'm a little jealous.
I am, too, because, you know, on all the hunting I've done over all these years, I've never bagged a deer over 200.
No, I didn't realize that. No.
Come close, you know, 193, 197.
Close.
And just so close. Anyway, he got a real nice one, a real bruiser, and he's going to tell his story on our show in just a few minutes. A couple of other reminders that this program is brought to you in part by the Northwood Sporting Journal, New England's most popular outdoor publication. And we want to remind you, too, that you can stream online. And what do you do if you're, let's say, Catherine, you live in Hartford, Connecticut, and you want to listen to Paul and Catherine tonight on the radio. How would you do that?
You know? You would do that at WVOMFM.com. And that's how my parents are listening at this moment up in Presque Isle.
Oh, that's how they listen.
That is how they listen.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So hi, Mom and Dad.
Yeah. All right. Good. And that's how you do it. And you can stream, I guess, about anywhere in the world if you've got a connection, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's good. So make sure you tell your friends if they're out of state, they want to continue the main connection. That's a good way to do it. And let's see, I want to remind you too that this is the Christmas season. A good way to please the sportsman in your life is to buy one of many different outdoor books that are available. And I have a new one on the market called The Hunter's Digest. This is 350 odd pages. I think it's crack jam packed full of all kinds of hunting stories, and you can check it out by going to the www.sportingjournal.com website and just click on the tab that says Outdoor Books.
Awesome. That is on my list. I asked Santa for that book for Christmas. So.
Oh, did you?
I did.
Oh, great. Thank you. We appreciate your business. And you can get a whole list of outdoor books that you might buy for they make great Christmas gifts. And let's see what else. What is the number if somebody wants to dial in tonight and be part of our program?
The number is 1-800-966-1039.
And that's a toll-free
it is.
Statewide number.
And anybody can call. Anywhere, and we love it when people call.
Anywhere in the world, right?
Anywhere in the world.
Our
absolutely.
Nickel. Yeah. Okay. All right. And you're listening to us on WVOM FM 101.3 and in Augusta and 103.9 in the Queen City. The Voice of Maine.
Right now.
News Talk Network. Let's see. Outdoor Digest time right now. A couple of items. As I said at the outset of the program, the November firearm season has ended. We hope you had a good, safe season. We hope you were lucky enough to put a deer in the freezer. If not, remember you have next year to look forward to. And you also, if you have a black powder gun, you can get out there when there's no one else around, there's snow on the ground, and you can do a black powder hunt. And I still have a chance. I bagged a doe the last 15 minutes of the last day. And got really lucky, and but I can still go chase a buck if I want to.
Nice, good. Are you going to go do that?
I'm going to take my black powder gun.
Nice.
And give that a shot. So let's see. So anyway, the firearm season is over, and we're going to learn a little more about muzzle loading in a few minutes. Warden Service is recruiting for deputy game wardens for next year, and this is mainly be involved in enforcing boating regulations. If you're interested in that, you can. You don't have to go to the Criminal Justice Academy to be a deputy warden. You can find out more about that by dialing 287-8000 during normal working hours and ask for the Maine Warden Service, and they'll give you more info on that.
That is a good job. I hope they get some good people for that, because that's a great job.
Yeah, good, a good opportunity. It is also a way to work yourself up to be a full-fledged game warden.
Absolutely.
You bet.
Yeah, and they get the uniform and everything. I looked it up after last week's show. I'm like, let me see what that is.
Well,
they
not
get
only,
the uniform and everything.
Catherine, you not only do you get a uniform, you get a truck, a nice pickup truck, green pickup truck, four-wheel drive, you get the ATV, you get the snow sled, you get the boat. I mean,
all the good stuff.
What a deal.
I know.
For next summer, that sounds like a great job for a retired person.
I think it would be.
I know. I'm thinking the same thing.
Yeah, and you're retired. You should look into that. Anyway, let's see, what else? Oh, they haven't caught the poachers yet.
Oh,
as
man.
Far as I know, the Mount Desert poachers are still at large. They're offering a $4,000 reward to anybody leading to information.
Good. I would have thought that. On that island is so small that you would have thought someone would have seen something. Yeah, it makes me sad that.
And that's pretty good. That's pretty good cash. I mean, $4,000 is nothing to sneeze at.
Absolutely. To have that meat wasted, you know, when we all are out there trying to get. It was just sad.
Yeah, what kind of people do stuff like that, you know?
Sad.
Okay, let's see what else here. We want to remind you, too. I think that's everything we want to remind. Oh, there's one other thing. What was it? I got it in my stash right
here. Tyler.
We're going to talk to Tyler. There's one other thing I want to tell you before we hook up with Tyler. This is interesting, too. If you're going to do black powder hunting, you can buy up to 3 more doe permits in some sections of the state. Did you
really?
Know that? You can buy them over the counter.
No kidding.
So if you didn't get a doe permit, this is your chance. You can black powder hunt, and you can buy up to 3. Can you imagine it? Up to 3 doe permits in certain sections of the state in zones 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, and 29. If you're living in any of those zones, you can pick up not one, not two, but 3 additional doe permits. So there's a real need, I guess, to cull the herd. Maybe there's an excess of antlerless deer. Anyway, let's see. I think that's it. We're going to hook up with Tyler now, aren't we?
He's with you.
Oh, good evening, Tyler.
Hi, Tyler.
Hello.
How you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good.
Good. I've been building you up here before the show, telling anybody what a great hunter you've been. You really have. How old are you now, Tyler?
33.
Just a youngster. And you're really setting the world on fire with your success in the deer woods. You got a nice bow buck. That was, what was that, 11-pointer, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that was a nice one. And you must have to get more than one freezer now, right?
No, I still got the one.
Still got the one, yeah. Well, okay, you got the nice bow buck. That was an 11-pointer. And then recently, tell us what happened recently. You did pretty well. Tell us about, I've been trying to do this for 60 years, and I've not been able to match that. What did you do? Tell us about that, would you?
Well, I didn't do much. I just a spot that I was been trying at for a while. Just was getting too much pressure, so I just went somewhere different. And there was a second sit in there, and I saw activity on the cameras that night, so I decided to go there.
What time of day was it?
Oh, you mean the activity?
Yeah, yeah. What time of day did you shoot the buck?
Oh, I shot 7 a.m.
Oh, early in the morning, yeah. And you probably had your trail camera set up, so you had some idea that he was lurking about, right?
No, I didn't know that was, yeah, he was around.
You'd never seen...
So it was just luck? That's amazing.
No, I remember seeing that one last year.
Gotcha.
I was in there last year, and I knew that one was around. I just didn't put a lot of time in there.
Yeah. And you were in a tree stand, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and you showed up about... Yeah, go ahead.
And then I heard something walking behind me, and it came behind me, and it was moving in pretty quick with its head down. And it was kind of on my opposite side, like the weak side of shooting.
Yeah.
And then it was starting to head downhill towards the swamp, and I only had like a tiny window to shoot at it. So I kind of yelled at it, and it stopped and looked at me, and then I shot it, and it dropped right where I was standing.
Oh, that's good. Heavy buck like
that. I didn't really know. I didn't really care how big the thing was. I didn't really realize it was the size of it. That it was.
So when you walked up to that bruiser, you must have been a little surprised by his size.
Yeah, I was a little surprised, yeah.
That must have been a good feeling.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you certainly didn't drag that guy out alone, right?
No, it took three people, and that still was...
Still a drag, yeah.
Still needed more. It was all uphill, so...
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness.
It kind of was...
Yeah, I'm glad I wasn't there to help. So it was uphill drag, and it weighed 204 pounds on the scale?
204.
Yeah.
Congratulations, that's
like
beautiful.
A 6 point.
Yeah, and that
I think it's more of a 6 point.
Yeah, big buck.
And then I got the taxidermy texted me this morning on the age, and he thinks it's 7 years old.
Oh, that's an old deer, 7 years old. Wow. Well, congratulations. You're going to get to wear that patch on your jacket. And those of us who have been trying for 60 years will be so jealous. Won't we, Norm?
Yes, very much so.
Did you ever shoot a 200-pounder, Norm?
No. My biggest one was 180.
Yeah. I've been close, but no cigar. Well, again, that's great, Tyler. And what did you use for rifle?
Remington 700 308.
Oh, 308. Perfect deer round. Yeah, good for you. Well, congratulations once again. And, of course, you're young, and you won't have anything left, any mountains to climb anymore with all these deer you're killing. That's doing a great job. But you're not getting bored. You're not getting bored, right?
No, I think I got lucky on that one.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of luck in hunting anyway. But congratulations to you. That's wonderful, and I'm glad you're going to get a mount. That's something to be very, very proud of, and good for you, Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also on the taxidermy found on that one is someone else shot at it because it had a little part of its antler taken, like chipped right off, and there was a piece of copper sticking inside the antler. So
no,
like
kidding. So somebody got buck fever, didn't they? Shooting antlers off. Yeah.
Sounds like gave the buck
just grazed it, and you can see a piece of copper sticking.
I'll be doggone. Yeah. Well, that's great. Hey, thanks for talking to us. And you all through hunting for the year, I guess, huh?
No, I'm trying to help get a buddy one.
Oh, that's good.
I still got a either sex tag and expanded.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. All right. And you knew that the old man here got a little dough there the last 15 minutes of the last day. Yeah. So I got something for the freezer. Yeah. But I'm going to go black powder hunt for that buck. I haven't given up yet. Maybe I'll be able to report a 200 pounder. Who knows, Tyler? Yeah. All right. Good to chat with you guys.
Congratulations.
Congratulations to you. Yeah. Take care. Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. That was Tyler Strassenberg, who has just bagged a 204-pound buck. And And again, I guess he's just got lucky.
I know. I know. That's amazing. Yeah, it's really, that. You know, sometimes that's just the way it is.
You never know.
No. Yeah. The biggest buck that I saw going through on my own hunt, I hadn't seen on camera. I'd seen a bunch of little ones. And then sitting there, like, this big one goes through. I'm like, where did you come from?
Yeah. They surprise you. I'm getting the time sign. What are we doing here? Take a trivia question?
Yes, it's that time.
Is that time? Okay. Now we'll take the break, right?
Correct.
Okay. We are going to tell you this. We're going to have an outdoor trivia question, which Catherine will read to you. And if you have the correct answer to the question, we are going to make sure you get a one-year subscription to the Northwoods Sporting Journal worth about $33. And what is the question, Catherine?
Well, the question has to do with something I've always wanted to do this. What are the two terminus points of Maine's fabled 100-mile wilderness?
Okay, could you do that one
more
time? The
two endpoints. Where does it start and where does it end to hike that 100-mile wilderness?
All right. 1-800-966-1039 is the number. You cogitate on that and we shall be right back. Okay, we're back with Maine Outdoors. And I have in my formerly nicotine-stained fingers, I have a subscription to the Northwoods Sporting Journal. And I'm going to make sure you get that if you can answer Catherine's question. And we have a caller standing by. Good evening, caller. We'd like to know your first name and from where you're calling.
Okay. My name's Mike, and I'm calling from Patton.
Oh, way up in Patton. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Mike. Good to hear from you. What do you think the answer is?
Well, A-Ball Bridge and Monson.
No. No, close.
So you're saying A-Ball Bridge and Monson.
Monson and A-Ball Bridge.
Yeah. What do you think, Catherine?
It is not. There's quite a bit more to it.
So you're not going to let me give him the subscription? Well, you're a meanie.
He left off the hardest part.
Oh, I did. Oh.
West Branch to the Penobscot. No, the 100-mile wilderness is from A-Ball Bridge to Monson.
Okay.
And
now,
that doesn't include Katahdin.
It does. I thought it did. I have the answer in front of me. It says it goes from Monson into the peak of Mount Katahdin.
Okay.
Is that not right? Somebody Google quick. That is the answer that I have on my little sheet.
Yeah, I think he may be right, though.
Oh, really? Are we wrong?
No.
Caller,
no.
I'm embarrassed now.
Well,
it says right on my little form
here.
Well,
it's just that my wife was doing the 100-mile wilderness.
No, we pay.
She started at A-Ball Bridge. Her and the two guys with her were starting at A-Ball Bridge heading to Monson.
So, caller, you're saying it goes from Monson to A-Ball Bridge?
Yeah, that's a 100-mile wilderness.
Oh.
And then the terminus of the AT, obviously, is up on
the peak,
on top of Katahdin.
Who gave us this answer?
Now, Mike, we pay people big money to get these questions written, and sometimes they make mistakes.
We all do.
Yeah. So, are you saying, Mike, that well, what about the stretch of land between A-Ball Bridge and Mount Katahdin? Is that part of the 100-mile wilderness?
Well, that sounds like that's what Catherine's saying.
I thought it was. I thought you had to make the peak of it because my little cheat sheet. But I thought you had to make the climb up Katahdin.
No, I mean, the reason why I agree with the caller is that my wife and the two guys that were doing the trail wanted to do the 100-mile.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they started A-Ball. They didn't start at the top of Katahdin, and they went down to Monson. And only one of them actually made it. But
I tell you what, we're going
to. I really wanted to do this hike now that I know I don't have to hike Katahdin. Sign me up.
my research assistant researched this and said it was from Monson, Maine, to Pumala, to the peak, to the top of Mount Katahdin. That was a 100-mile wilderness. So we're going to chip to you, Mike, and give it to you. Okay.
Mike sounds like he knows what he's talking about. Yeah, no, Mike really sounds like he knows what he's talking about. I'm a little worried about us in here.
You sound like you're very confident in what you're saying, so we're going to go with you because...
Congratulations, Mike.
Our research assistant has made mistakes. And congratulations to you. And now, if we find out that you're wrong, will you give the subscription back?
Sure.
No.
Just kidding, Mike. Just kidding. All right, congratulations to you. You have won the not only have you won the the subscription, but you also gotten our research assistant fired, and that's great.
Oh, no. No, we got to get that person back.
All right. Again, Mike, congratulations to you.
And, all right, thanks.
Are you a
deer, Good luck, Muzzleloading.
Are you a deer hunter?
I am.
How'd you do this year?
I passed on a buck. I passed on two bucks and then missed the first buck I've missed in 18 years.
Oh, no.
So I'm currently getting the muzzleloader ready.
Oh, right. Good. Well,
okay. It'll happen for you during the black powder season, that's for sure.
I hope so. Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah. Good luck to you on that.
You.
That's great. And I'll be out in the black powder woods myself trying to get that buck. All right. Stay on the line, Mike, if you would, and we're going to make sure you get a subscription to the journal. And Norm will get your address so we can make sure you get signed up, okay?
Okay, perfect. Good luck and be safe in the woods.
Okay, you too, Mike, and thanks for listening to the show.
Okay.
We appreciate it. Take care, guy.
All right.
Yep, bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right. Sometimes we do air sometimes. I'm not sure we did, but you can assure that I'm going to research it thoroughly this week and find out what the right answer is. I read this in a very authoritative book, so we'll
I
find
know.
Out.
I always thought it was the top two, but Mike sounded like he knew what he was talking about.
Yeah.
And Norm agreed with him, so it's kind of 2-2.
Yeah. We may be splitting hairs. I'm not sure. But we'll find out. And we'll get the answer for sure. It's too bad we didn't have Carrie Kish listening because
he would know.
Carrie would be able to resolve this.
Yeah,
that's for sure. All right. Again, you're listening to the Maine Outdoors with Catherine Gordon and Paul Reynolds, your hosts. And we're going to be hooking up with big buck hunter Hal Blood, who writes a wonderful hunting column for the Northwoods Sporting Journal.
I was trying to Google it. I can't get my phone to work in the studio.
It's not working here, no. No, the walls are too thick, I guess.
Darn.
Anyway, we're going to get hooked up with Hal, and we're going to talk a little bit about black powder hunting strategies and also maybe a little bit about some of the different choices that you can make in buying black powder guns. Do you know anything about black powder?
I know nothing. I'm really excited to learn. Yeah. No.
Well, in the old days, the original ones were you had powder. Actually, you had granules you put down the barrel, and they were prone to sometimes misfire.
Oh.
And then they developed what they call the online muzzleloader, which they have these capsules which are. They're like solid gunpowder that you put the capsule in the front of the gun, then the slug, and then you have a little primer cap like they have on a shotgun shell.
Oh, neat.
And they're pretty dependable, a lot more dependable. I was hunting with one of the old type guns down in Maryland and had a big 8-pointer looking at me in the rain.
Oh.
And the gun went poof.
That's
a heartbreaker.
That is.
So anyway, the new ones are much more reliable, and there are all kinds of different types you can buy. And I thought maybe Hal might have some thoughts.
Yeah, so they must have different sizes. Like I'm 5'1", and I'm small. Like they must have like these kind of ones, right?
Oh yeah. They got all kinds. I see our engineer producer is on the phone. His lips are moving. And I don't know whether that means he's hooking up with Hal or he's talking to his girlfriend. I don't know what's going on there.
I know. He's doing a lot of chatting in there.
Yeah. So while we're waiting for our engineer to get us hooked up to Hal Blood, we want to give a little teaser here, remind you that we're having our big Christmas show, Catherine.
I know. I'm excited.
And that is
the 15th, right?
December 15th, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And Catherine and I will be here with bells
prizes
on, and we're going to give away some good stuff.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be fun. We're
going to give away a whole bunch of good things. So be with us for that show, December 15th. We're going to have a whole bunch of trivia questions for you.
And hopefully this time we'll have the right answers to the trivia questions.
We're going to hire a new research assistant. That's the first thing we're going to do. Okay, we have Hal standing by.
No, we got to go to break first.
Oh, we got to go to break.
Oh.
All right, well, let's take a break, and then during the break, you can we'll hook up with Hal Blood. You stay with us right here on Maine Outdoors. Okay, we have confirmation from our research assistants that it is indeed A-Ball Bridge. It goes from A-Ball Bridge to Monson, right, Norm?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and so we stand corrected. This is the second mistake we've made in the past 30 years. And Mike from Patton, you were absolutely right, and we're glad we decided to give you the prize. Okay, are you there, Hal?
I'm here.
Hal Blood, nice to have you on board. We appreciate you taking your Sunday night to be with us here for a short time. And we talked you up, Hal, and we told everybody what a great deer hunter you are, and we thought we'd get you to tell us a little bit about what your plans are for black powder season and maybe give us some opinions about different types of muzzle loaders that you prefer and why. We thought that might be interesting. A lot of people are listening and planning to either black powder hunt or maybe get interested in trying to buy the right gun to do that. Any thoughts on that, Hal?
Yeah, I just dug mine out because I haven't hunted much this season, and on my own, I've been taking my grandson a lot this season and getting him trained up so he can go his own way next fall. So I'm gonna finally hunt by myself all week.
All right, well, good for you. What's your preference in a muzzleloader?
Well, I like the Woodman Arms they made over in New Hampshire there, because they actually, Mark Woodman designed that gun to carry like a 7600 carbine Remington or 760. It feels like it's got the same safety. It's the same. It's almost like you can grab this muzzleloader if you use a pump or even a semi-automatic Remington. But you can grab this and you think you're carrying your pump gun. It's light. It balances right. And it's got a whole different internal mechanism than most muzzleloaders. There's no external hammer like almost everyone has. It's just, you know, it's the trigger assembly is inside, just like on most rifles, you know. And it's a crossbolt safety, just like on the Remingtons or even the Browning 7, you know, right behind the trigger guard. It's got the same safety. So it's natural to shoot that for me. You know, if you shoot a carbine, you know, you shoot a 7600 or 760, it's a natural change to move over, because I've lost out on a bunch of big bucks over the years lugging a muzzleloader after my rifle, and it's unnatural to try to, when you got to do some quick shooting, you're thinking about getting the safety off because it's different. You know, like my 7600, I don't even know the safety's coming off. It's just off when I bring the gun up.
Just a reflex action.
Muscle memory. But if you switch to a muzzle loader with a hammer, it just takes you that extra second to get the safety off and think about it. And man, I've missed out on some big ones that got away. That if I'd had, you know, my rifle, they'd have been laying there dead. You know.
Yeah, I learned that a long time ago. It's not good to carry a strange gun if you're deer hunting. Period. Right.
No, but like I said, with muzzle loaders, we're kind of forced to, you know, if you use a lever gun, you know, with a hammer on it or something, like, you know, a Marlin or a Winchester, and then you switch to most of the muzzle loaders, like the Thompsons and stuff, they've all got a hammer on them, and it's pretty natural to pull a hammer back. But, so anyways, that's why I like the Woodmans, and it's a quality gun. It's all stainless with nitrate coated. It's all stainless and aluminum. There's nothing to rust on it.
Oh, that's good.
And
you still have to clean them, though, right? After you shoot it.
Nope.
You're kidding.
Nope, you don't have to clean. Nope. Oh. If you use a Blackhorn 209, you don't need to clean it. Every bullet will go down the barrel. I know Mark Woodman told me he purposely let one go. I think he said he shot it 200 times and never punched the bore.
I didn't think that was possible with a black powder gun. In fact, the early ones, I had one of those little Thompson carbine. I can't remember what it was called. But boy, those
Renegade,
things.
Renegade, probably.
Yeah, they got dirty fast, and you got to take care of them, and it's a son of a gun to clean them. Wow. So are other companies making guns like that don't get dirty easily, muzzle loaders?
Well, I think part of it is, like I said, this barrel is nitrate coated inside and out, and I think that's part of it. But that Blackhorn powder, I couldn't figure out why it would do that. You know what I mean? Why you could keep loading bullets. You know how usually if you shoot two or three, four times, every time it successively gets harder to pound a bullet down?
Yeah.
Well, with this with that 209 and that Woodman, every one goes down the same way. No matter how many you shoot, you push them right down and it's fine.
Yeah.
But I noticed the residue, when you shoot it, the powder residue, it almost feels a little bit oily. So it might have some property in it like that that's oily and makes it, you know, when it goes off, it like lubricates a barrel. I'm not saying it is, but that's what it feels like to me, the powder residue. If you squish it between your fingers or rub your fingers together, it seems a little bit oily, not just real dry like most of the, like Pyrodex and
yeah.
What
brand of pellets do you use in that?
It's not pellets, it's loose powder.
Oh, you don't use the hard pellets like I use in my CVA?
No, those are made by Pyrodex, and those are the ones that are dry. You know, they'll
yeah.
three or four shots, they're gummed up, you can't even barely get your bullet down the barrel. But this is a loose powder. It's called Blackhorn 209, and it's hard to get now. They've had a like one of them run off. I think people are hoarding it. I found a can again down to Cabela's there a couple months ago, and they had four cans left, and I didn't hoard it like most people, but I bought one can of it. Not really a can. It's a plastic bottle. But it's a different makeup than regular black powder or Pyrodex pellets and stuff. You don't, the max load like with Pyrodex is 150 grains.
Right.
With this Blackhorn, it's 120, and you have to measure it differently. It's by weight instead of volume, like black powder is volume in Pyrodex. So they have their own speed loaders, like they're just vials, and they've got, it's marked on it, like, you know, I don't know, 10 grains to 120, and then you can work up, you know, whatever load you want for your bullet weight. But I use 100 grains of, I use 100 grains of the Blackhorn with a 225 grain, I use a 45 caliber, and it's a 225 grain bullet that I get right from Woodman Arms. Yeah. Yeah, like a guy makes them, they're homemade bullets.
That's the same thing that I would call a Sabot slug, right?
Yeah, it's got a Sabot on it, and it's a bullet that looks kind of like a Barnes Vortex bullet.
Yep.
It's solid copper with, you know, you see the slots in the top, like it almost looks like a hollow point with slots. It peels back, mushrooms nice. It's a really nice bullet.
Let me ask you this, Hal. Change gears a little bit here. Our co-host here, Catherine Gordon, is a hunter. She's not gotten into black powder. If she were going to get into black powder, and I know, I'd imagine, I could be wrong, but I imagine these Woodman guns are quite expensive the way they're made. Is there any suggestions you might have for her in terms of what you would suggest for a beginner who wants to get into black powder? For some type of a firearm?
And I'm small. I'm 5'1", and I use youth models a lot of times, too, so I just wondered.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you mean you're trying to think of, like, a less expensive gun? Is that what you're getting at?
Well, I've never done this season, and so I just thought maybe where I had some back issues, so I wasn't able to get out during regular deer season, but now I'm feeling a little better. I'm like, maybe I can, you know, invest and get out there a little bit. So I just wondered if there was kind of a, not like a gazillion-dollar one.
She probably not, probably money's not a problem. She's a retired teacher, Hal. She just exactly. bought a Creedmoor 6.5, so she's probably loaded.
I spent all my money on that, yeah.
So she raises a good point. She's short in stature, and I know some of these muzzleloader guns are heavy with long right. barrels. Is there some brand or type that you would suggest that she might consider?
I don't really know. I mean, everything's like anything else. A lot of the guys say they like their CVA guns. They make kind of a shorter, lighter one. Like, and then Thompson was probably what I always considered kind of like a really good one. And then Smith & Wesson bought them out, and then they quit making them. But I heard that it was bought back out, and they're going to start making those Thompsons again. But I had a, before this Woodman, I had a Thompson Omega, and it was a really nice light gun. It was stainless.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, a synthetic stock.
Yeah.
And that was a pretty nice gun, and they made one. They made one. It was called an X7. It was the same one, but it was like a carbine. It was short and light, and I bought my son one of them years ago. I still have that here in case my grandson wants to use it. But
and who is that made by, CVA?
I think
that was a Thompson.
A Thompson.
But the CVA, I'm not familiar. I never owned one. I know they're like probably the least expensive ones.
Yeah, I have a CVA 45 caliber that I won in some kind of a door prize, and I've killed a couple of bucks with it, and it works great. It, you know, it's online, takes the hard pellets, and you know, it does the job. I do have to clean it regularly. That's one thing I have to do, but it works good.
Well, that's right. You got to clean those, and then you've got to really pay attention to moisture issues, like around the way they seal. Like they seal different ways, you know, usually they break open, and then they, you know, when you close it, there still can be water get in around that and get at your primer, you know.
Oh yeah,
I always used to, where they break down or something, I would take that boar butter, which they made for the old original ones, you know, like you could grease your balls, but anyways, I would take a little bit of that boar butter. You could use Vaseline, too, and put it around the rim where the barrel closes down, and that'll keep the moisture out.
Okay.
And then you put electrical tape or a piece of duct tape or something over the end of your barrel, and it keeps moisture on that end of it, too.
Do you do that with your Woodman? If it's a rainy day, do you cover it with duct tape, the barrel?
I keep it covered all the time, rain or not.
Oh, do you really? No kidding.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it keeps moisture, condensation out and all of that. Or if you're going along in the snow and you stick the barrel in the snow and get snow up in it, you don't have to worry about that if you put an electrical tape over it.
Oh, that's interesting. So, I've never done that.
Yeah,
well, does that Woodman use a 209 primer?
Yeah.
It does, yeah. And the one thing I don't like about the CVA, the only thing I don't like is you know, you open it up, and to get that primer cap put in that little hole in that thing is really awkward. Not easy to do. I don't know whether it's part of the design problem or what, but I have to use a Leatherman to put it in there because I have small fingers, but I still can't get that thing to snap in easily. Is that a problem?
Yeah,
problem with your gun?
No, because it opens a different way. Most of them, like that CVA and the Omegas and stuff, it was almost like they call it a falling block action, where the hammer is, the whole back end falls down. You put the primer in, you pull it back up, right?
Yeah.
This Woodman one, it breaks open like a break open shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
The barrel, you know, the front end tips down. The receiver's like, the barrel goes into the front end of the receiver, and the way you operate, you know, to break it down, you pull on the trigger guard, the front of it, you pull the front of it, and it drops down, and then it's right there. It's easy. You just push one on with your thumb, and then just snap it closed.
Yeah.
Easy.
Okay.
Very, very easy.
Yeah. Hal, we're going to take a short commercial break. We hope you'll stay with us.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And you folks at home, we'll be right back. Catherine, you're going to message for us, right?
I was looking at Norm. Oh, I know. Oh. I'm so sorry. Here we go. Chunrell Appliance Services. It is now owned and operated by Gary Coleman, who's been doing service work for General Appliance for 35 years. Nothing has changed. Rebuilt appliances available, parts and service for all makes and models, always reliable, giving you complete support after the sale. You owe it to yourself to come see our gas appliances for your camp. Gas refrigeration, gas lights, gas freezers, gas ranges, and Norm's personal favorite, the compost toilet.
Ride the wave, baby.
Come visit us at our new location just two doors up, still here serving first-class customer service at 103 Center Street, Brewer, Maine.
That's right. General Appliance, they've been sponsoring us since year one. We urge you to patronize them as we do.
Awesome.
Yeah. You bet. Are you still there, Hal?
I'm right here.
Thank you. Appreciate you standing by. The Woodman, do they have a website for selling their firearms?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Tell us what it is.
I think it's just woodmanarms.com.
I read somewhere that they designed this gun custom designed for you. Is that right?
I don't know about that, but they did design it around the 7600 carbine, you know.
Did you ask them to do that?
Nope. When I had met Mark Woodman, he had just come out with it, and he was trying to, you know, like anything, you know, you're trying to make a go of it and get it on the market. So we helped him, Big Woods Bucks helped him with it, you know, with the marketing and advertising, and it's a good quality gun, and they can't make them fast enough. I think I was seeing the guys talk about them on Facebook there. I mean, it was like out to 6 months wait when you ordered one.
Yeah, I just checked, and they're running at least the bare minimum is 20 weeks behind.
You're kidding. Wow, that's like getting a doctor's appointment.
Yeah. He did put some into, there's a couple of gun shops, and they buy like, you know, they'll get them like 15 or 20 at a time. I think there's one in Vermont, maybe one in New Hampshire, but, you know, you might get one off the shelf there at the right time. But, yeah, other than that, you're going to wait to get one.
Yeah. Well, that's a good problem for a guy to have.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Catherine Gordon has a question for you.
I did. I am part of that Maine Women Hunters group, and I saw that you did a really wonderful women's deer clinic for them, and you've done it, I believe, 2 years in a row. Was it in Jackman?
Yep.
Yeah. Are you going to be doing that again for a third year, and like, how would people find out about it? And I thought that was a fabulous thing.
Yeah. I knew Christy there, and then I talked to him at the Maine Sportsman Show there a couple of years ago, and they asked if we could put together one for the gals for a week, and I said, yeah. I said, if you take care of the booking of it, because it's hard for me to try to, you know, gather up the women and try to get them all accommodated in the same week. You know what I mean? Because I've had women come on it before, and couples and stuff. So Christy has done that for me. So she just puts it out there on her.
And is it going to be in May? Is that right? Is it going to be in May?
Yeah, I do them in May because it's right after the snow goes out and the wood still looks like it does in the fall, you know.
Yeah.
And I usually do 5 weekends, and I usually put the gals in there, yeah, somewhere in the middle or whatever. But and then I'll pick the week. I'm going to pick my weeks here. Oh, after deer season rolls and it quiets down here, I'll go in and look at the weeks and pick the dates, and then I'll give her a date. And then she throws it out there, and it's usually booked in a day. You know?
I believe it. And I saw the pictures from last year, and it just looked like everyone had such a great time. And
yeah, they have a good time, yeah.
And I saw the fiddleheads. You guys did a whole bunch of stuff. It was great. And the food.
Yeah.
You had Candace cooked for you. Was that right? Did she cook for that event?
Yep. She's been cooking for me up there for, I don't know, 8-9 years or something.
Yeah, she's great. She does those baskets every year, and I get her baskets at Christmas time that she puts all the things she's gathered through the year, and she put like some fiddleheads that were pickled fiddleheads or something in the basket last year. She does a great job with that. Her food always looks so good.
Yeah, yeah.
Hal,
you coming, Catherine?
Oh, I'll come. I'd love to come. I think that'd be a fantastic time. It looked like it really are did. You, I saw it online. It just looked like so much fun.
Yeah, Hal, I have a quick question to ask you before we're up kind of against the clock here. What kind of a deer season did you have at your camp?
Really good deer season. As usual, you know, we have the misses and all of that stuff, but I think probably we usually have 18, 20 hunters a week between the guided and unguided. And I think the first and second week was about the same. I think they killed four or five, and they missed four or five. You know, should have had 10 out of that many. And then the third week, they killed nine the third week and missed one. And then this past week, they killed three and missed two or three. I don't know, but.
So it was a good year, better than last year, the year before?
Yeah, it was the best season we had, you know. And it's funny the way that goes because you're dealing with hunters from all walks and some are better than others, but overall it was good. We had a couple from Vermont on a guided hunt, a 2-on-1, and they both shot bucks on the same day, so that was pretty special.
Wow, I would say so. And do you guide black pounder hunters, or you just take it up for yourself?
Yeah, I don't guide it myself anymore anyways, but and I don't do black. We don't have the lodge open for black powder season. There's not enough call for it.
Yeah.
So I do the 4 weeks of rifle, guided and unguided hunts, and then we wrap it up. And like I said, we don't take a lot of people. We average about, like I said, 18 or 20. Depends on how it books in, you know, the groups.
Okay. We are just about out of time. I would appreciate your being with us tonight, Hal, and good luck to you in the Black Powder Woods, and we'll stay in touch.
Thank you. It was great talking to you.
Okay. Take care, Hal. Thank you. All right, next week, Catherine Gordon is going to be your host. She'll be in the driver's seat, and she'd have a surprise guest to announce for you at that time. And we'll see you all next week right here on
The Maine Outdoors.